Podtacular 381 RT Extravaganza for July 11th, 2013.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And today we are here going to talk about some RTX goodness as well as some announcements regarding Halo that came up and out and about during RTX, most of which you guys already know as the Championship Bundle, which includes two new maps, some new armor skins, some new weapon skins, some new goodies all around. So
new mods.
New mods as well. Yep. Got lots of little things in this pack coming our way. But first of all, of course, Brent and myself were in Austin, Texas for RTX last week. So we got to hang out, see some of the show floor, got to see some panels, see the Global Championship, which both of us participated in. I made it through first rounds all the way to the finals, and I lost out in the first round of finals. So unfortunately, I didn't get too far. I got a good decent way, though. Top 64 out of over 650 people that applied. So I have to say at least top 10% for RTX isn't bad.
Oh yeah, that's pretty great. I participated in the tournament, and then I forgot that it was points-based instead of just full-on winner moves on to the next round. So after I lost to Dusty, I took second place in the that FFA match that we initially played at first. And I just figured I was out. So the guy at the booth actually ushered me away. He's like, you guys got to get out of here. Like, you can't stay around in here. So I figured I just had to leave when I was actually supposed to stay there and get my next match scheduled. So I'll never know how I would have actually done in that tournament. probably not very well, but I think I probably could have gotten to the top 64. Maybe.
Well, I tweeted you afterwards, like, I think like an hour or two afterwards, and like, you get your card signed, right? And you never responded back, so I guess you just didn't see it in time.
No, I didn't. I wasn't anywhere around a device that I could have accessed Twitter with.
Wah, wah.
Yep, I had my 3DS down there. That was the only thing I brought. I should have brought my laptop. I really should have, and I thought that I would end up losing it, and then I'd be, you know, screwed over for the rest of the year, but I should have brought that. I had my 3DS. I was going to use that to, you know, walk around and play different 3DS games with people, you know, like Animal Crossing, or, you know, maybe get into some Pokemon battles, you know, just cool stuff like that.
Right.
And I forgot to bring my charger, so it died on the first night, and
yeah,
that was the end of that, so...
Yeah...
Oh, so that sucks, I need to get a smartphone. Like, the next purchase I make is probably going to be a smartphone. I need one. Like,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was fun. I did get the t-shirt, which was really the reason I entered the tournament. I knew I wouldn't do very well in the tournament, you know, much less get the, you know, get into the top six and, you know, head to the finals, but...
Right.
I actually did better than I thought. That first game, I took second. Dusty was first. I think it was a difference of, like, two kills.
Yeah, it was very, very close.
Yeah, I don't know what the KD ratio was, though. So.
Actually, I think it was one kill.
Yeah.
I think I eked it out at the end.
Yeah, but even if we had tied, I think your KD was better than mine. And that's the kicker. So if you have a better kill-death ratio and you tie for first, the person with the better KD... takes the match. But I mean,
that's
getting
how
second,
that's how I got knocked out in the finals. It was a three-way tie for fourth.
Yeah. So that
only
was
if
interesting.
It was, only if it was based off of assists, I would have gone through, because I had the most assists out of everybody in that game.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's the funny
that
thing about FFAs, is just it's half skill and then half knowing the flow of the map, knowing where people are going to be, picking off those extra kills that people can't necessarily finish, or knowing when to insert yourself into a battle to pick up a couple of loose kills or weak players, and then basically racking points up that way. So it's kind of a dirty game sometimes, if you think about it.
Yeah, FFA is still kill the game type. I mean, it takes a different skill set than, you know, Team Slayer, obviously. It's mainly about knowing where confrontations are going to take place and making your way to those confrontations in a way that will allow you to end that certain, you know, battle with you taking both of the kills. You know, if you see somebody getting shot in the head, you know, maybe wait till their third shot and then get that last headshot in on whoever they were fighting, and then being able to actually kill the person who was shooting at that guy. So,
right.
It's a lot of grenade spam. It's a crazy game type. Personally, I prefer team-based game types as far as competitive gaming goes, but it was a fun tournament. I enjoyed watching all the games. I watched Dusty on his last match before he was eliminated.
Yeah, that kind of sucked.
Yeah, but what are you going to do, you know? I mean, sometimes you win them, sometimes you lose them. That's the way it goes. You did really well. I mean, I was proud of you.
Well, that's debatable. I did pretty good.
You did well. To get into the top 64 means that you did well, and then, you know, to almost advance, that was pretty good, too. I mean, you would have advanced. It was just your kill-death ratio was off a little bit.
Well, I'm really not a good free-for-all player. I'm more of a team player, which I think has part to do with it. But as far as I consider myself maybe an above-average player, not necessarily a great player, but that last game that I got eliminated on, I couldn't connect with a lot of things. I had lots of shots, and I can recall at least two or three situations where I should have had the kill easily, and I just didn't have them.
Yeah, but, I mean, K-Sara-Sara, they were a good match. You did good. Also,
well,
in that last, I mean, the pressure was on, you know. The first matches you play, obviously, those aren't as intense as the later matches, you know.
Right. It's one of those things. Since I'm not that much of an FFA player, it would take time for me to even really develop those skills. And granted, it would be something nice to get good at, but being a team player, I think, is a lot more important.
Yes. Now we have to start focusing on practicing our griffball skills.
Yeah, so we have a interesting little thing going on right now. We're signing up for the GGL League. For those of you who don't know, that's the Good Games League for Griffball. So myself, Brent, Halo Fan for Life, and Ace of Spades Card, and Jackfire Dragon are on the Griffball team for the summer season of the GGL. So we're going to try to get ourselves into some Griffball. It's 10 games over 5 weeks, so 2 games a week. And then the championship weeks, I believe, is like 2 or 3 weeks for those. I don't exactly remember the format, but we're going to try to play in there. I've been saying it for a while that we would get a Griffball team going, and now we're finally doing it. So we practiced a little bit last night after Wacky Wednesday, and we're going to practice some more this weekend. Don't know how well we're going to do. I definitely know quite a few things about Griffball, watching Griffball, knowing the folks over at Griffball Hub. So, as a team, we have a lot of stuff to work on. But, of course, this is mostly for fun. This is our first time really doing it. So it's mostly just kind of for the fun aspect. But it would be nice to do well the first time that we get in there. Maybe place in maybe the top 20% of the teams or something like that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you're going to see us at the championship game. We will win this tournament.
Oh, you're
no
funny,
doubt
Brent.
About it. Cyber Smashers are going to Cyber Smash all of y'all, baby. Bam!
Ba-bam!
Ba-bam!
It's actually a different sound for Halo 4 Griffbots.
I think that they should have custom sound effects that you can choose for each weapon. That would be cool. And they have, like, also... I mean, think about it. Like, they had the armor effects, you know, starting in... wasn't it Reach? Where you'd have, like, Pestilence or... You'd have
the
hearts
different...
flying out of you, you know,
yeah,
the grunt
stuff.
Birthday party stuff.
Right.
I mean, that's just wacky stuff. Like, why not have, you know, I mean, release it later into the game's life cycle even, but, you know, have some sort of wacky stuff like that that you can incorporate into the game. And, I mean, they've kind of got that going on with some of the armor skins in this Champions bundle that they're coming out with, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah, I'd love to have, like, a gravity hammer that makes all sorts of crazy sounds when you swing it. Or, like, yeah, you can get, like, if you got the gravity hammer, like, your Spartan has a Jerome voice. And, like, every time you get a kill, Jerome says something cool. Like, I mean, obviously, Jerome works for Bungie now.
Bungie,
but,
right. Yep.
But, I mean, his grav hammer is a Halo thing, so.
Hell's Jerome.
Yeah.
That was a thing in Halo Reach.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was after 15.
I mean, he's a badass. Jerome is awesome.
I mean, indeed. Let's see. Let's talk about some other RTX stuff. So, we got there on Wednesday, both of us. Brent got in via bus. I got in via plane. Both of us arrived, in the afternoon. I arrived in at night. My flight was delayed for an hour and a half. So I didn't get in till about 11:30 to the hotel, I think was about it. Maybe 11:30. So, got there on Wednesday. Got our badges, walked around on Thursday a little bit, got to see some of the stuff behind the scenes as they were setting up, got to go to a pre-RTX Rooster Teeth party, got to meet up with some people there, got to see some people that I didn't even think I'd be in the same room with, ever. So that
such
was pretty
as,
cool.
Drop some names. Do it. You know you want to.
No, well, if you want to, but there was quite a few in there. Freddie Wong was one of them.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. I said hi to him actually at PAX East. Didn't say hi to him at the RTX party. Didn't really branch out too much other than the Halo pros that were there, the 343 guys that were at the party, and then the Rooster Teeth folks. There's some other people I introduced myself to and ran into, but there were some big YouTuber names and entertainment names there that it's like, oh, well, it's interesting to see them there. I just need being one of them, but I didn't really go up and introduce myself to any of those people. Mostly, if it was either Halo or Rooster Teeth specific, then I tried to. If not, then it's like, oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. The highlight of that party for me was meeting with the illustrious BS Angel.
Yes.
Finally got to meet her in real life. After,
yes.
Well, I don't know her that well, but, you know, I've known her long enough to feel like I was finally getting to meet a friend. Yeah, she's cool. We also met Frankie up there. Well, I met Frankie. I'm sure Dustin's already met him. Trying to think of some other people. Strongside was up there. Chatted with him for a while. Then we walked outside on the balcony to go watch the fireworks over Austin, Texas. And unfortunately, the fireworks were obstructed by the W Hotel building. We were in kind of like the worst possible spot to see fireworks if you wanted to go look at them. But
right.
We were able to kind of walk out on a staircase near the hotel and get a pretty good glimpse of them. So that party was fun. Afterwards, we, you know, kind of followed the crowd down into downtown Austin, went into this place called Buffalo Billiards, you know, played some foosball, some pinball, stuff like that.
Well, we didn't play much, but I'll tell you what, Andy, or bravo for the rest of the Halo guys out there, he is a beast at foosball. There was this one shot that he had. If you guys know, the front offensive line has the three people on it, and then there's two defensive lines in front of them. He had a bank shot off the side and into the goal on that front offensive row of players, or whatever you want to call them. And it was like, once he scored that, everyone was just like stopped dead. It's like, wow.
Yeah, pro foosball, man. Like, no joke. Like, you could tell this guy has probably been in some foosball tournaments
or
in
something.
His
I mean,
yeah.
Geez, he was a beast.
Oh, yeah. I tried playing pinball. They had a Star Trek The Next Generation machine. Costs a buck to play. I put four quarters in the machine, then guess what? It didn't let me play. And I was super duper mad. Oh my god. And that is one of my favorite pinball machines of all time. I mean, as far as tables go, I love Next Generation. And
did you
and
tell anyone that was broken, or did you just kind of let it take your money and like just walk on back over to the group?
Yeah, like I didn't tell anybody. I probably should have went up to the bar and, you know, told the person working there, hey, your machine took my money and you didn't put out a does not work sign in front. But I just didn't bother. I was frustrated. So yeah, I lost a dollar on that. Didn't get to play pinball. Nobody was playing on that table. Like, everybody, all the other tables were being played, and that was the only one that didn't have anybody near it. So probably that should have been my first sign that something is wrong with that machine. And I was like, no, it's the next generation. Like, you know you want to play it. Like, you have to play it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I get. Stolen dollar. So, but I mean, it was a fun night. That was a fantastic night at the Rooster Teeth pre-event party.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Oh yeah. I mean,
the food selection was interesting.
No,
there was cheeses. There was what was kind of either grilled or steamed vegetables, but it was cold, so it was like it was not done very well or done very long, or I'm not exactly sure what they were doing.
What I think they did was probably steam the vegetables and then chill them. That's my best guess, because some people do that.
I guess it's more of a southern thing to steam them or grill them and eat them warm, but...
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously, that's the way most people eat them, but these particular hors d'oeuvres were chilled.
Right.
Really, the only hors d'oeuvres I enjoyed up there were the mushrooms that they had. They had pretty good mushrooms. Some of the cheeses were good, too. I'm not a big hors d'oeuvre fan, just in general. But yeah, a lot of fancy food up there. It occurred to me that might be possibly the fanciest party I will ever attend. Maybe. I mean, so yeah.
Well,
I mean, it was good
for
stuff.
Now.
It was fun.
If you go next year, then there's going to be another pre-RTX party, so.
Yeah. If we tell them who I am, I'm not sure they'll let me in.
You didn't cause that much of a ruckus. Jeez.
Well, no, I didn't. I acted pretty good down there. Yeah.
Good boy.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun all around. And that was just the first night before the event even started.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the opening of the event.
So we woke up the next morning. I don't remember. We got breakfast that morning, didn't we, at the hotel?
No, we walked. Was it? Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was the breakfast on Thursday. I was thinking that we went out to a pretty cool place.
Oh yeah, on Thursday we went to Annie's Bistro or whatever it's called. Annie's something in Austin. I had some tomato soup there that was pretty great.
If I remember, Dustin, I think it was on Congress and Fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you go to Austin or if you go to the RTX next year and Annie's Bistro, something like that, on Congress and Fifth, it's a pretty good place to eat.
Yeah. So yeah, we the next morning.
Back to Friday.
Yep. Back to Friday. We got up, got some breakfast at the restaurant that they have inside the hotel. Our hotel was kind of strange because it was two hotels in one. They were both Marriott, and there was the Marriott Courtyard on one side, and then the Marriott Residence Inn,
yep,
where we stayed on the other side. So they all had kind of one combined little sports bar / restaurant there that you could go for a free hot breakfast. That morning, I had a croissant and some coffee. The official breakfast of Captain Jean-Luc Picard, as I informed Dustin that morning.
Quite a few other people.
Oh yeah, well, I mean that wasn't my choice. You forced me into that. It was extremely embarrassing, Dustin. So thank you for that.
it's just interesting that you know that. I mean,
it's interesting that I know that, but that's not something you want to let everybody know that you might know.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, but I mean, my knowledge of the next generation is probably more extensive than just the general populace. I mean, a lot of people like the next generation, but I really, really like the next generation.
I like TNG.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Captain
left the restaurant.
Jean-Luc Picard of USS Enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
I love that. That's a
great
song. I love
it, too. The Picard song.
Yes, Picard song. Go look it up if you've never heard it. You need to go listen to that right now if you care at all about the next. I mean, if you care about the next generation, you've probably heard it. So,
if you haven't, pause this podcast, go find it on YouTube, and then come back.
Yeah.
Except if you're in the live stream, stay here.
So Friday, we got there. We already had our badges.
Right.
I think. So we could just walk in. Everybody else was getting ready to register. I guess they waited until the first day of the event to do that. So
it sucks to be them. The expo hall actually opened up noon the first day.
Yeah.
So I actually went in early, checked up on the Griffball people, actually hung with 343 for a while. We had a few games going into that we started playing before the floor opened. So I went in there like 2 hours early. And then played quite a few matches with the Waypoint guys. I almost beat Bravo on a game. It was 30-29. I almost beat him in an FFA game. I was so happy, and then he finally just got killed, and I'm like, well, you suck.
You're like, no.
I'm like, damn you!
Ugh.
Damn you, Bravo! Anyways, it was a lot of fun. And then Brent, you got in around 12:15, 12:20?
Yeah, sometime around then.
The lines to get in was actually pretty quick. It was a lot better than, at least from my personal experience, than PAX.
Well, yeah, I mean, PAX probably also has a lot more people.
Lots more people.
It's PAX. That day they were kind of sectioning off people to like go in one group at a time into the exhibition hall. That was the only time they really did that. Was that first day, right when they opened. I guess just too many people were trying to get out on the show floor, like, the instant it opened. So I waited a little bit, but I still got in around 12:15. I got in there, you know, checked out all the booths. Dusty was busy helping the Griffballers, you know, finish their final preparations for their booth. It was looking good. First thing I did was just kind of look around, played some Mario Kart 64 that day. There was one, kind of, I guess, local video game shop, you know, popping mom and pop style video gaming shop, that set up a booth where they had Mario Kart 64 playing on a projector. And I was like, oh yes, it's time to play Mario Kart. So
yeah, it was basically retro game stuff that they had up there. They had several consoles, I believe, in the glass case with controllers and all these game carts from several years back.
Yes, the time before time, back in the NES and Super NES days.
Back before Halo.
They had some interesting things up there. They had I got to see a Power Glove up close and personal. I've seen the Power Glove for the original Nintendo, but I'd never actually seen it in real life. So I actually got
to look
at that. Like, I was going to touch it, but I thought that they might get mad about touching their old stuff. So I didn't. I was going to put it on and, like, take a picture with me holding the Power Glove.
That's what I wanted. But
yeah, I probably should have asked. They had an old Rob up there, a robotic operating buddy or something. I don't know what that stands for, but it was a peripheral for, I think it was the original NES, if not the Super NES, that you would connect and it would play a certain set of games. But it was actual, like, robotic buddy that, you know, could pick up blocks and then put them on another pedestal and you'd play games that way. So
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Just about every old system from the 70s and 80s were there. A lot of cool stuff on that booth. They also had a lot of T-shirt booths where you could walk around by game-related T-shirts. Obviously, you would expect that to see. I mean, you know, just at every convention, you know, they got stuff like that.
Yeah, plenty of gaming gear.
Yeah, if you're looking for swag, conventions are the place to go. So at the Sanchi booth, I picked up a Slowbro T-shirt, or a Slowbra T-shirt, B-A-R-H-A. It's got a kind of picture of Slowbro on the front, but he's wearing a pink T-shirt with the collar popped up, and he's drinking a beer. Like, it is funny. He's got like a hat backwards.
Cool shirt.
Then I picked up a set of 8 Pokemon badges. That was $20. They look pretty cool.
I wanted to get one, but by the time that you got them and the time I decided to go over and try to get them, they were out. So I'm no.
They were like the number one selling product up there. I mean, other than
it
a couple
surprise me.
Select
yeah.
T-shirts. Right. So yeah, just fun times all around on the exhibition floor. I didn't do everything on the show floor that they had set up. Some of those lines for the Achievement Hunter and Rooster Teeth things were outrageously long.
I honestly didn't even bother with that. I went over there to take pictures. I guess to lay out the general floor for you guys that weren't there. Once you first got in, you had the Rooster Teeth store on the left. You had the Halo 4 Global Championship on the right. Then you had a bunch of booths in the middles for the vendors, whether they're selling shirts or showing off stuff. The 405th Source actually had a booth there. We'll get to that in a minute. Main stage was in the back left. Food court was on the left-hand side. The Griffball booth was in between the food court and the RT store. And then the RT podcast booth, or the RT podcast setup, was over kind of near the back right. And then the extreme back right was the Achievement Hunter side of things, where they had people doing trials, files, other Achievement Hunter stuff. And then they had the Tower of Pimps, of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and alcohol on the show floor. So,
so they're selling beer.
Yep. A lot of people walking around holding Shinerbach and Corona. So, I mean, if you were 21, you could have a lot of fun on the show floor at RTX. I definitely know playing Halo 3 was much more fun when I had a Shiner in my hand. Still won every match I played in Halo 3, I think, except maybe one. We lost by a couple points. The people on my team weren't fantastic, but I mean, it was just a fun thing. It wasn't a competitive type of thing going on. It was just, you know, Iron Gaming set up all these Vanguards and they were all hooked up to Halo 3. So I'm like, yeah, I haven't played Halo 3 in years. I'm going to do that. First match I played was on Snowbound, which was kind of disappointing because Snowbound is not one of my favorite maps from Halo 3. A lot of people were playing on Sand Trap. That was weird.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought there would have been some other more popular ones that were played, like Guardian.
Yeah, I didn't see Guardian being played at all. I saw Last Resort being played.
Last Resort would be, yeah. I would assume would have been played.
I played on Last Resort, I think. Man, I'm trying to remember which. But yeah, I was expecting Guardian, and it never showed up. I'm sure they played it at some point during the weekend, and I just wasn't there to see it, but. Good stuff.
Interesting.
A lot of fun to be had on the floor.
Lots of stuff. In my opinion, RTX is way better than PAX. It's a lot smaller. It's a lot more focused on the RT community and what they're interested in. Unlike PAX, where it's a lot more gaming, nerd culture, the trading card games, the Magic the Gathering stuff. There's about half the stuff, if not more, at PAX that I'm not interested in, where at RTX it was like, wow. All this stuff I could really get into if I had the time.
I feel like I could meet some more Pokemon fans at PAX than I could RTX.
Probably.
I mean, there were definitely Pokemon fans at RTX. I saw some people walking around with Pokemon t-shirts, Pokemon badges. I mean, the fact that the pin set that Sanchi was selling, you know, went out within the first 2 days, probably good evidence that there are some Pokemon fans up there. But yeah, it was real fun. RTX, it seems more personal than the other conventions, even though that RTX is...
It really does.
...really the first gamer con I've ever been to.
It's a lot smaller, and it doesn't take up the full convention like PAX does currently with PAX East and PAX Prime. Yeah. So the audience is definitely a little bit smaller. It's not as big as PAX, so that environment, I think, is a lot more conducive to be more enjoyable, to be more immersive.
Oh, yeah. Trying to think what happened later that day on Friday. If there was anything
real special. Mostly, I mean, we were kind of hanging around playing our games. And yeah. For me, I just kind of went back and forth between the Global Championship booth and the Griffball booth. Walked around, bought a couple things from the 343 store, bought one of the matte prints of the Forerunner art, the one with the Warthog in the bottom left and then the Forerunner kind of background on the right. Yep. And that's limited edition. There's only 150 of those printed, so managed to pick up one of those. There's a cam shirt that I bought there as well, so got myself a shirt. Surprised I actually didn't spend more on some of the other shirts that were there. There was a a pair of red and blue shirts. I was thinking about getting one of the pairs, but I decided not to. And then there were some other prints that they had there as well that I didn't get. It was a pretty good little store, I think, for the stuff that they were selling there. Of course, I think the big thing that everyone was there for was trying to get one of those shirts, one of the Global Championship shirts, and they're really nice.
Oh yeah, it's a nice t-shirt. I'm wearing mine right now, actually. Looks
I
cool.
See.
Halo 4 Global Championship 2013 Combatant. So.
Yay!
Yay! Cool t-shirts.
So, cool t-shirt, brah.
Friday was the night we went out to Threadgills, right? I think it was Friday. Yeah, it was Friday. Because we went to TGI Fridays on Saturday.
That's right.
Right, so later Friday night, we all met up with the Griffball Hub crew and made our way to a restaurant called Threadgills, which sells kind of southern-style cooking.
It was good. It was really good.
It was pretty good.
I think we had, how many people there?
It was like
23?
Yeah, by the time it was over, it was like 23. We went in with 16, told the waiter that we needed a table for 16. That took like 30 minutes to find one. And then by the time he came out and told us that he had a table, we'd already gained like two extra people. So he got real frustrated about that. But we got in. All 16 of us or 18 of us, whatever. And then we actually had more people join us, you know.
Yeah, we had like
five
more people come by. So,
yep. So it was a huge party. It was good. Most people got the chicken fried steak. I really wasn't feeling like chicken fry that night, so I just got a cheddar burger. It was okay, you know, pretty good stuff. How was the chicken fried steak?
It was pretty good. A little on the dry side, I think, but I've honestly never had chicken fried steak before, so I don't even know really how it's supposed to be prepared. But it was good. It was good nonetheless.
The thing about chicken fried steak is you need to eat it with the gravy. Just by itself, it is dry. Like, it is a dry food, and the gravy is almost just there, you know, to give it an extra moist component.
I was ridiculed by, like, three or four different people when not eating the gravy. And I'm personally not a big gravy fan to start off with, so that's why I kind of asked for it on the side, and then I just kind of ate it without the gravy. But then people were telling me afterwards, including Brent, is like, no, you're supposed to eat it with the gravy. I'm like, okay, well, next time I get a chicken fried steak, I'll eat it with the gravy.
I mean, you can eat it any way you want to, but, I mean, generally people will eat it with the gravy just because the chicken fried steak is so dry by itself. I mean, it's not incredibly dry, but it's a lot drier than if you actually have the gravy on it. So that was fun. After that, we went back to the main Griffball Hub Hotel, the Hyatt Place, and we stuck around in their kind of lobby/bar playing Cards Against Humanity.
I thought that was Saturday. Was it Friday?
It was Friday. Yep.
Oh, Saturday was the day we went back and just went to the hotel. Okay, yeah. So, we played cards for, what was it, like 2 hours?
Yeah, two and a half hours. That game is amazing. It is, in my opinion, the ultimate party game as far as cards go.
Yeah, it was. If you guys have a chance to go out and buy Cards Against Humanity, wherever you are, I think they may be selling it online right now. They may have sold out already since they put more stock up since PAX East. But if you have the chance to get it, and if you've played Apples to Apples before, then it's very similar to that. Go get it. It is one of the funnest party games you will ever purchase. It's worth the purchase to get it.
I will warn you now, though, if you are offended by sexual or disgusting content, don't buy this game.
Or all out just the bad side of humanity, just the wrong side of humanity.
Yeah, just awful stuff. I mean, the game is called the party game for horrible people. I mean, it's true. It brings out the worst in you. I mean, it doesn't really bring out the worst in you, but it's just fun to come up with these kind of awful, terrible kind of phrases using these cards that have, you know, awful things on them and then, you know, adding them to a normal question. It's just a lot of fun. So we played that for a long time. Went home and got ready for Saturday. Went Nate the hot breakfast at Champions Bar. That's just that bar inside the hotel. I don't remember if anything happened that was real interesting that morning when we ate. I think we just ate and left. Got to the show floor. Everything that was there the last day was still there. I don't think they added any booths. That was the day that I actually went to my first panel. I didn't actually go to any panels on Friday because there weren't really any panels that interested me that much.
Didn't go to any panels on Friday either. There were some I wanted to go to, but I didn't get around to going to them, primarily because of having to play in the global championship.
Yeah. We both had our match at 1:40 on Friday, so we missed out on some of the best panels they had that day. But yeah, I mean, it was still fun on Friday. First panel I went to was the Halo panel, I believe.
Yeah, I think that was mine as well. It was only that one, and then the Griffball panel that I went to. Those were the only two panels I went to, actually.
There was one other panel that you went to.
Well, we'll get to that one. We'll get to that one.
Yeah, those are the three that I saw, too, including the one that you're thinking of. So yeah, I went to the Halo panel, because we were with Griffball Hub, we were able to sneak in on the front row. So that was pretty sweet. The very front row.
I was
row,
media, but, I mean, so.
It, you know, yeah, so Dustin had his media pass. He could have just, you know, just flashed that and been like, yeah, VIP status, sucker, you know, got in on the front. But I only had my weekend pass, which was fine. I mean, I was waiting in line, but then I had to use the restroom and I was worried they weren't going to let me back in line. But I got in with the Griffballers. Texorcist came by and got Murherder and myself in the line with the Griffballers. Murherder is a Griffballer himself. I really didn't know that much about the Griffball Hub community prior to this event, so I was just surprised that, you know, they let me stick around and annoy them that entire weekend. So I'm real appreciative for that. So thanks, Griffball Hub guys and gals. Yeah, just a lot of fun.
This is your first convention really outside of the one that you went to MLG, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, your conference experience is still quite young.
Yes.
I've seen it this way as I've gone to conferences, but, the more people that you just hang out with, especially in and around the Halo community is such a great place to be with. I'm so happy to be a part of it and to be doing a podcast in it, because the people in it are just fantastic. They're so supportive and appreciative of work people do, with support that people give to other communities and whatnot. And it's never an issue to hang out with people and just talk to people. Everyone's always open to share their thoughts and ideas and experiences with Halo, and it's just really, really cool to see that kind of camaraderie among the greater Halo community.
Oh yeah, and most people up at RTX who were actually attending the event were super nice. The whole time I was up there, like, I expected to see like maybe a couple fights break out between, you know, just people getting into arguments. I mean, really, you get a whole bunch of people together, generally there's going to be fights breaking out. But I didn't see a single fight break out. Maybe there were, you know, maybe I just wasn't around to see it, but everybody was super cordial. They seemed real excited. They were a good group of people. The biggest a-holes in Austin were the people traveling in who weren't a part of RTX and were offended that we would actually, you know, come to a convention. They're like, well, I feel like I've landed on a different planet. You know, I mean, it's, I guess they came just to see the city, but, you know, then they see, a Ruby cosplayer walk by. They're like, whoa, what are you doing, man? It just blew their minds.
We ran into someone on Sunday when we were walking in. There was a bicyclist going through, and Sunday morning they actually had a spot in front of the convention center blocked off, and they had police cars on either end with roadblocks set up and some guardians walking around, and this biker comes up to one of the guardians, and the guardian tells the biker they're doing a shoot, and he's like, oh, what was it for? It's for Rooster Teeth, and they do gaming and internet stuff, and the look on the guy's face and just the expression afterwards is like, huh?
Oh yeah.
They're doing what?
Now the locals were pretty cool about it. The people actually living in Austin, most of them that I, spoke to that were asking about it, I mean, they were just curious as to what we were doing. I mean, they probably thought we were a little strange maybe, but they didn't actually make any, kind of rude comments about it.
No.
Yeah, so everybody was super cool.
Yeah, the Griffball folks are always cool to hang out with.
Those guys were extra, extra cool.
Yeah. I got to meet several of like the higher end like pro level Griffballers there. The Red Hot Bikini guys, the Green Army guys, there are some other teams there as well. Actually, looks like there's a Griffballer in our chat stream or our stream right now. So hi Lamb Chop.
Hey.
So we got to meet lots of cool people. There's even a party on Sunday, which we'll get to here in a second. That pretty much wraps up Friday. We did cards, and then we kind of dispersed after that. Saturday, we woke up pretty early. I thought the doors opened at 10, so we actually woke up around 9 o'clock, 8:30-ish. Took showers. I spent some time doing something on my computer. Oh, I was working on slides for my panel, because I actually hadn't started working on slides until that night. So, yeah. So I was working on slides for a bit. Went downstairs for breakfast around 9 o'clock. Got some food. Started heading over to the convention center around 9:45, and everyone was already inside. And the doors were open. It's like, oh well, I guess it opened at 9. So people were already in there. Not as busy as Friday. It was definitely not as packed, at least for the morning. It got a little bit more busier throughout the day, but other than that, it was pretty much identical to Friday. Got to watch some Griffballers play their games on Saturday. So most of them played on Saturday. I believe it was Murherder, Forsaken Mango, Nanadel, and Vayner Freya. I think there may have been another one. Was there another Griffballer? Was there a fifth one?
I don't remember.
New Taco, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
I forgot if he played or not. Lamb Chop will remind me if he did. But those Griffballers got to play some games. Forsaken Mango actually made it one game past me, I think. So he got the furthest out of everybody that I knew there. There was another HBO person, or two HBO people that were there. Brian Newman, who we've had on the show before, for some of our lore casts, he was among the top 32, I believe. And then there was another guy that we met that we hung out with quite a bit over the weekend. And his name is Jess, and he made it to the top 16. So kudos to you, man, for making it that far.
Yeah, good job.
Quite an accomplishment to even say top 16. Unfortunately, I had my panel on Sunday, which is when the finals were, and I couldn't watch him play, but still, to get that far is pretty cool. Also on Saturday was the Halo panel, the Halo 4 panel, which was pretty, pretty awesome. There's some massive details coming out of that. Got to see Jessica, Frankie, Andy, it was Gus up there, right?
Yep, Gus.
Yeah, Gus. And one of the map developers from Certain Affinity. I forget what his name was.
Let's see.
If you want to look that up for me real quick.
Yeah, I'm looking it up, trying to figure it out.
I'm kind of bad about knowing the Certain Affinity guys' names. I do have a business card for one of them, for Mike, but he was not the one on the panel. So, as far as the panelists up there, that's the list of panelists. We had a special appearance from Jen Taylor for about a minute or two. She came in, said hi, and said, after this panel, I have my own panel. Come over to it. So, it's like promoting her panel. And how many people... I wonder if people left the Halo panel to go see her panel or not.
I probably should have.
I didn't hear much shuffling.
I really wanted to get Jen Taylor's autograph. Like, that was the one autograph I wanted the entire week, and I didn't get it, so I feel bad. I feel as if I failed. I failed RTX, Dustin.
There will be other days, Brent.
There was only one mission. I only had one job to do.
There will be other days.
Jen Taylor.
There will be other days.
Yeah, I can't find his name, and now I feel really bad because I can't remember it. I do know that was the guy who bolt-shot a player in the Ricochet preview game that they were showing off. And everybody booed him. You remember that?
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he was the guy that they actually showed playing the match. They focused on his screen.
No. That was Joel from 343 who they were looking at.
Wait, that was Joel?
Yeah, that wasn't the Certain Infinity guy. That was Joel.
All right, I got you. I thought it was the Certain Infinity guy.
No. And for those listening to us, it's a Joel from 343, not Joel from Rooster Teeth. Just clarifying that.
Yeah, we met Joel at the party, too. That was cool. At the pre-event party.
At the pre-event party. That was a lot of fun.
So, yeah, we got to see the first live Ricochet match available to the public. That was cool.
It was pretty cool. And Andy was up there commentating like a professional match. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It looks like a really fun game type. So if you don't know what Ricochet is, it is basically soccer or basketball meets Halo. So there's two goals. There's a ball in the middle of the map. You go and you get the ball. It's like a griff ball, basically. And you can throw it around. You can pass it. And you can either throw the ball into the opponent's goal or run it in for more points. So I think it's 50 if you throw it in and 75
no,
if
no,
you
no,
run
no.
it.
It was 50 if you ran it in. Because that's the only...
That's what I said.
No, you said 75 for running in, 50 for throwing.
No, I said 50 for running in and then 75 for... No. If you run it in, you get more points.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I switch it up. 50 if you throw it in. 75 if you run it in.
We didn't actually see them score on a throw. I was hoping we would. I was hoping we would see that and see how many points that was going to be. I would guess a throw is 10 points. Maybe.
Maybe.
Or
yeah,
20 points. It'd be 10
know.
Or 20
now I'm
points.
All confused. Anyway, you get more points for running it in than if you do of throwing it. But, I mean, they came close to scoring a throw-in goal, but it bounced off.
It bounced over.
And, yes.
It bounced over.
The ball is extremely bouncy.
Oh, yes.
I guess that's why they call it Ricochet. So I can see a lot of people figuring out some ball bouncing tactics for that game type. I could even see people like setting up to get like instant scores where you have one guy like on the ball spawn. He grabs it, runs, and throws it over to another guy on the other side of the map. That guy throws it to another person who's waiting next to the goal. He just runs it in like... That'd be sweet, you know. You just keep doing that over and over and over again. So
yeah, Pins Halo looked up the guy. It's Steve Young from Certain Affinity.
Okay.
So he was the guy that showed off the two maps and Ricochet, which we'll get to the good stuff here in a little bit, guys. It's part of the actual bulletin stuff, which is why we're going to we're kind of holding off a lot of details until we get to that part. And to lovable lamb toss parts, yes, it is. Ricochet, Oddball, and Griffball use the exact same balls in every game.
Yep.
The physics, I think, are a little bit different per each game type. I think for Oddball and Griffball, the physics are actually the same. But for Ricochet, it seemed like the ball was a lot more bouncy. At least when they were throwing it around, it seemed like the ball definitely bounced off like floors and walls a lot easier than from what I've seen playing Griffball and Oddball. So it seems like they altered the ball physics a little bit for this game type specifically.
Yep, bouncier balls. Always much more fun.
All right.
So that was
most of the Saturday. They had a Halo Reach, or no, not Halo Reach. They had a Griffball tourney Saturday morning. For Friday afternoon, they actually had a Griffball training for a lot of the pro teams, and then they had signups for teams going through Friday, and then for the teams that signed up, they had a tournament Saturday morning, and that was a lot of fun to watch. I don't know how long you stayed around for the first part of the day, but It was really fun to see some new players. Well, I mean, they're probably not new to Griffball, but to see some kind of amateurs or up and comers at the game really play, and it was a lot of fun to watch. So the crowd really got into it over when they saw the pro teams play. So it was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah.
Let's see, what else happened Saturday? They had the poster signings from the 343 folks that were on the panel and some of the other Certain Affinity folks that were there, and kept on playing through the Global Championship, watched some people play their final games. So that was most of Saturday night, and then we went to TGI Fridays for dinner.
Oh, yeah. TGI Fridays was pretty great, too. Sat around with Mirror Herder and Alley Cat.
Right.
Talked to them for a while. Learned that we actually have people in the Hubcast who listen to Podtacular, so yay!
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 Shout outs to those guys. Yay! There was much rejoicing. So we were there for, let's see, a good 2 hours? 2.5 hours, maybe? We were there for an hour just waiting for food, really.
Oh, yeah. It took them a while to cook. I think they were understaffed at the time, and they
maybe
especially didn't, you know, expect a group of 12 nerds to come by, you know, hungry and thirsty.
We want food.
Yes, well, food.
The thing is, we split up and went back to our hotels to drop stuff off. I came back. Brent, you were sleeping at the time, and I came in. Woke you up, you started getting ready, and I was just kind of laying down, looking through some pictures and looking through the slides a little bit more. And we were there for maybe about 20 minutes or so. Then we went by, and they were just waiting, and I think they'd been waiting for about 20 minutes at TGI Fridays, and then we were there for another good 20 minutes or 10 minutes afterwards, before they came and got us to sit us down. So yes. I don't know. And it was weird on Sunday, because I went out with some of the Griffballers to lunch, or to stop by and get drinks to TGI Friday for lunch on Sunday. And all they were serving was a buffet. And all that was on the buffet was, I think, like steamed vegetables and mashed potatoes with toppings. It wasn't, you couldn't even order anything off the menu. And it was really, really strange.
Yes, just an odd. Like, I don't know. TGI Fridays wasn't that great. The food was okay. And being able to talk with Allie and Murr, that was fun.
Murr Herder. Yeah, that was a lot. It was really cool to sit down and talk with those guys.
Let's see. Who else was there?
A lot of people were there.
Yeah.
Goose and
Danny
Cow
was there.
Danny, Honcho, Mango.
Leo, Goose,
Yeah, Leo,
Cow.
Goose, Cow. I think Jess and the other HBOer was there too.
Yes.
There were a couple other ones I can't exactly remember off the top of my head, but it was a lot of fun. We basically, after the restaurant, we broke up. I tried to get online with a couple people to practice some games for the championship Sunday, and of course, no one got on. So Brent and I just played some FFA for a while, and it kind of sucked.
Oh, yeah, I did awful that night.
Both of us
did
awful.
And I just watched Dusty play. I cheered
him
on.
And I did awful after that.
Well, we needed to get prepared. I needed to get Dusty prepared for his big match the next day. So I figured, you know, I was just going to watch him, you know, to get him ready for some FFA action. Because FFA is completely different than team-based. And, I mean, I know that you played FFA, but generally, don't you play team-based games?
Yeah, I'm more of a team player than an FFA player.
Yeah, so I mean, it you got to get used to it a little bit going into an FFA game type. Just
it's a different style
of
play.
Yeah,
it's a different.
It is.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, it is. So we did that. Got ready, fell asleep. The next day, we prepared for Dusty's big match to find out. The problem was that if Dusty had won that match, or advanced into the next match, there was no guarantee that he would have been able to make it to his panel. The schedules would have conflicted. Dusty
well, if
said,
I, "If I got the next round, actually the match following my first one for that day was immediately afterwards, so I wouldn't have missed it for that."
Right, but if you had won that one and advanced to the final matches,
right,
it might not have.
I would have had to forfeit. Yeah. I would have had to forfeit and be like, "Nope, I got a panel. Sorry."
Yeah, and that, I mean that would have been unfortunate. You know, you get into the finals and then you leave to, you know, to go host your panel, which is more important. I mean, you have an obligation to do that. And I mean, personally for me, it would have been more fun than playing Halo. You know, you get to sit up there and talk with the most influential podcasters in the Halo community today.
Yeah.
So that happened. Yeah. Dustin played his games, almost advanced to his next round, but he got beat out due to the kicker clause in the, you know, in a tie game scenario. His kill death ratio wasn't there.
Three-way tie for fourth.
Yeah.
Sucked.
Oh.
My KD spread was the worst out of everybody. There was a lot of kills I choked on. I got some lucky kills at the end, which put me in a tie. And then I found Forsaken Mango, and I was trying to get a last kill on him, but time just ran out. So if the tiebreaker was based on assists, I would have gone through, because I had the most assists out of anyone on that in that game. Alas, it's based on deaths, so what can you do? I got through the top 64, so can't complain about that. And got a cool shirt out of it, too.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with a free t-shirt, especially when it's as cool as this one.
Right.
Pretty exclusive, too, you know? So.
Yeah. I have a feeling they'll probably give some of them away at Gamescom, and then at the finals, they'll probably give some away there as well.
Which you can't buy them on the store, which is important.
Correct. We did kind of skip ahead that there was the Griffball panel on Sunday.
Oh, yes, the Griffball panel. So
11:30.
We went to that, and that was amazing. We got to watch Tex, Goose, Cal, Nuclear Taco.
Hunter.
Oh, yeah, Taco Pizza
Taco
Hunter.
Taco Pizza Hunter was the intended guest. And yes. Nuke Taco, after a few questions, he was just summoned up to the stage because he does a lot of the forging stuff for Griffball Hub. So he pretty much took a permanent seat as a fifth member of the panel. But it was really cool to watch. There was the highlight reel from the last season, which was pretty cool. Kind of a shout out to all the donors that made the Griffball Hub or the Griffball booth possible. So for those that don't know, the Griffball booth that was at RTX was all funded through Kickstarter. It was not done on their own money. It was community based and supported, and it was really cool to see them come out, to see the community come out and really support this. They hit their first goal pretty quickly, and they had three other stretch goals, which eventually led up to them doing Griffball tournaments. And yes, that was a dog lamb chop. But that was all done through support from the community, and it was over $4,000 raised. So it was, I mean, shout out to the Griffball Hub community. You guys are awesome.
Oh, yeah. You guys are amazing.
The booth was fantastic.
Yes. Special shout out to the Griffball Hub leaders, such as Goose and Cal and Tex, who made that event, you know, completely possible. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. We spent most of our time with Griffball Hub during our RTX experience, and I really appreciate them, you know, kind of allowing me to stick around, even though most of them didn't know me at all. I kind of kept wondering, like, what, who do they think this, you know, weirdo, you know, sitting in the corner next to Dusty is? Like,
I introduced you as my co-host, and a lot of people took to you. So. Yeah. Yep, that's one of the things about first time you go to conferences, though. You just have to kind of stick yourself out there and just kind of, I mean, not necessarily pester people, but just like hang around them and let them kind of remember who you are. And that's kind of helped me throughout my whole convention going, I guess, career, if you want to call it. But just going around and meeting up with people and saying hi again, keeping in touch with them on Xbox, on Twitter, and whatnot. So I think you met a lot of cool people. I think a lot of people will definitely remember you if they meet up with you again. So,
oh, yeah, I hope so. I'm definitely going to be at the next RTX. I will find a way.
Yay!
If I have to start walking in, like, March and just keep walking towards Austin.
We'll get you there. We'll get you there one way. We'll start Kickstarter to get you to RTX.
Oh, man. I don't know what my, like, reward goals would be. Like, oh. At $1,000, like, I don't know what I would do. I really don't. Like, what could I give people in exchange for $1,000?
A Brent Was Here shirt.
Yeah. I don't know if they want that or not. But yeah, it was a great experience, and it was amazing. Griffball panel was great. Some great questions there. Mainly, what I got out of the Griffball panel was some pretty good tips as far as, you know, not jumping towards the goal when you're running the Griffball. Generally, especially, you know, back in Halo 3, I was kind of accustomed to jumping into the base to score, but I don't know. Nowadays, because the gravity hammer affects the physics of your Spartan so much, you really just bounce around in the air for a while and just get killed if you try to jump at the goal. But
right.
So, yeah, that was a cool panel. I think it was 2 hours after that panel was the podcasting panel.
No, it was quite a bit afterwards. The Griffball panel was at 11:30 and my panel was at 4.
Oh, okay. So that was
so yeah, it was a big gap. As far as so just to break down the Griffball panel, what they did was they showed their highlight reel with the donors to the booth, and then they showed the Griffballer of the Year, which was Taco Pizza Hunter from Hot Bikini Guys, and after that they basically just opened the floor to questions. So just think 40 minutes of questions. Actually, the donor thing was at the end, sorry. They did the Griffballer of the Year at the beginning, and then they opened the floor to questions. So they literally had like 45 minutes of questions all about Griffball, and most of them were pretty good. So, of course, being RTX, there are a lot of people there interested in Griffball, so it's one of the perfect places to have that kind of panel, and to see them have the booth there was also really, really cool. All the tournaments that they threw, including the ones on the main stage, it was just really cool to see them be kind of highlighted there, especially just shouting out to Griffball and Griffball Hub. So way to go, guys.
Yeah, just a little aside here. Like, I was waiting in line for the Griffball panel, and there was this girl in front of me with, I guess it was her dad or something. I don't know. She must have been 16 or 17. She just kept looking at me. Like, she would talk to her dad, and then she'd just look at me, and I didn't know what was up. And, like, even at the panel, like, she was sitting in the row in front of me, and she'd, like, turn around every time I'd, like, you know, they'd clap about something, or they'd say, like, here's Griffballer of the Year, and, you know, I'm a loud individual anyway, so when they do that, I'd go, woo, you know, and start clapping and stuff, try to get the crowd riled up. And every time I would woo, she'd just, like, look behind herself and, like, glare at me, but it was, like, a blank stare. It was a blank stare. Like, it didn't look like she had, like, malice in her heart. She wasn't, like, her eyebrows weren't squinched up and looked like she's going to kill me. I don't know what her deal was. So, oh, man, that was weird.
Brent's stories from RTX. That's kind of strange.
It was odd. I, to this day, I will never know what that was all about.
Yeah, we may never know. So my panel was on the last time slot for Sunday. It was at 4:00 on Sunday. And for those that haven't been paying attention to the podcast recently, it was a panel for podcasting. So this was whether you guys are starting out in podcasting, or if you have a podcast and you want to learn some little tips and tricks that may help kind of make your podcast a little bit better, attract an audience a little bit better, or what have you. This panel was supposed to be more or less a high-level overview of what podcasting is and how to really get started with it. And it turned out pretty well. Brent came down and scared me a little bit when he said that they're turning people away from going. And I'm like, wait, did we fill out the room or something? And you came down and was like, well, they're turning everyone. They said everything is full. I'm like, it's more than 30 minutes before the panel starts. How's it full? It turns out that all the lines were just kind of full, and all the hallways were stuffed with people. Every room wasn't necessarily full, but the upper floor for the lines were full. The room I had was supposed to be able to seat approximately 400 people, and we may have had a third of that filled up. So I think we had maybe around 150, maybe closer to 200 people show up for that, because there were some people that came in after the panel started, and there were some that left. So we had, I want to say maybe around 200 people total saw that in the room, and then I don't know how many people were watching the live stream.
Yeah.
So
I got worried. At first, they weren't going to let me into the panel because I was too late. You know, they were turning everybody away, saying that everything was full. So I just kind of snuck in with Dusty while he made his way over there.
Well, I said you were with me.
Yeah.
And I was a panelist. So, yeah, got in, went up about 30 minutes early to start setting up. Had a couple of last-minute things to change on the slide, so I got the information I needed from Lindsay, updated that, and then the panel from there went on pretty well. Had to say, I was a little nervous going into the whole panel thing all the way up until we started and people started coming in. It's like, and then the nervousness just kind of went out the window when everyone was there. It's like, okay, time to start. So it turned out really well. Got quite a few questions from the audience that was there. I think two or three people come up afterwards and say, thank you for putting this on. Really learned a lot. It was great to see some other podcasters share some of their knowledge. Someone gave me one of their cars to actually go listen to their show and comment on it when I have time to go listen to it. So that was pretty interesting. Got several follows and tweets a couple of days afterwards as well. So I think a lot of people really enjoyed it. I was planning to go do it at PAX, but tonight I actually got the email saying that the panel has been denied. So they said, of course, I mean, they did the PR way said, we don't have any time to fit your panel into the schedule. So I figured it's something I can try to get in for PAX East. Maybe try again for PAX next year.
Yeah.
I thought the panel turned out really well.
Oh, it did. It was great.
For those that didn't get to see it, we are going to put up a video version of it once we get the video and or audio from Rooster Teeth. I've asked for recordings from them and I haven't heard back yet. So we're gonna try to get that done. Cal from Griffball Hub also recorded another video angle. Brent recorded a video angle. So if we can get those three video angles and then the source audio, mix that together, throw it up on YouTube. And for all of you guys to see. So that'll be good if we can get that done. That's pretty much wraps up the whole RTX specific experience. We also had a Griffball dinner for all the donors that helped contribute to the Griffball booth. And then Brent was obviously along, so he was kind of like my plus one for the night. And that was a lot of fun. We went to an Irish pub. What was it? Fado's? That's what it was called, right? Fado's?
Yeah.
So we went there, had some good food, burgers. Some people ordered drinks and all. We had a cake that Goose had made locally there. Apparently, there's a kind of a mom and pop truck that makes cakes daily, and they made a cake from there, and it had the Griffball logo on it, and it was really, really cool. It was really good cake, too. Oh, my gosh. That's some of the best cake I've ever had. That cake was not a lie.
Mm-mm.
So, it was great.
Mm-mm.
Lots of fun times to hang, yeah. Just hang with people, just talk with people. All in all, just a good atmosphere all around.
Yeah, I loved it. I had a ton of... I mean, if I were going to summarize RTX, like, all I could say is ton of fun. Like that, because that's what it was. Like, it was a ton of fun.
Yeah, it was one of the best experiences ever. Definitely trumps PAX in my opinion. So, I think that wraps up RTX pretty much. We had the global championship that was there. The top six people from the competition at RTX actually goes on to the final. All expense paid trip. So basically, flights, hotel. Not food, of course, but basically all those expenses to get there is covered. the six winners, of course, half of them were kind of MLG pros. Some of you guys may know these. Snipedown being one of them, Strongside, Goofy, Toxic Nate, and then a couple others that I think are just kind of regular Joes that I haven't at least heard of. But Footed Panda and then Dale967. So all those guys have, they won Vanguards when they were at the event, and then they get the all-expense-paid trip to the finals. And that's going to be sometime in August, possibly early September. I think it looks like it may kind of line up with PAX, if their scheduling and programming works out. I talked with some of the 343 guys afterwards, and they don't have a date set yet, but if it's possible, they may do it at PAX. But that's still completely up in the air at this point.
Yep.
So, there was the Griffball panel, which we talked about. There's the Halo panel that we talked about, which we'll get into some details about that a little bit later. There was my panel, the podcasting panel, the Griffball booth, the floor layout. I mean, that's pretty much it. So lots of fun all around. If you guys do have a chance to go to RTX, I highly encourage it. If you're a big Halo fan, then you're obviously probably a fan of Red vs. Blue. If you hadn't heard of Red vs. Blue, head on over to roosterteeth.com. It's a machinima that they have over there. It's really funny. They do a really good job over there. They're on their 11th season. And RTX is all about what the RT community really loves and enjoys, and that has to deal with Red vs. Blue, Halo, Griffball, Achievement Hunter, the Let's Plays, Trials, Minecraft, and all that good stuff. So, this year was their third one, and from what I've heard, it just keeps on getting better and better every year. So this is one of those conventions that I'm going to put on my yearly trips to go to. So definitely check it out if you have the chance. That pretty much wraps up this show, guys. We're going to be covering the Halo Bulletin and some of the other stuff that's come out on the Waypoint blog here. On our next show, it'll probably be released like a day after this podcast or something. So as far as RTX goes, I think we pretty much covered our experience pretty well. Definitely going to go next year. I think Brent's going to go next year as well. So.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. As always, you can find us on podtechler.com. And while you're there, send us an email or shoot us a voicemail. We'd like to hear from you guys. We would love to hear if you were at RTX, what your experiences were like, or if you have any questions regarding our experiences at RTX, feel free to drop us a line and we'll definitely answer the questions on the show, if not reply back to you. Of course, you can do that at sending an email to submissions@podtechler.com, or you can use the submit button on the homepage, which will take you to a contact form where you can send us the email, or you can call us on our listener voicemail at 240-200-HALO. That is 240-200-4256, and leave us about a 90-second message at the most. That's a pretty good time frame for us. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course Twitch, where we stream our shows every Thursday at 8:30. That is actually going to change to 8 o'clock on Thursday. So the game nights are still going to stay 8:30. That's Monday Night Matchmaking on Mondays at 8:30. That's Wacky Wednesdays on Wednesday at 8:30. But we're going to be moving the podcast up to 8 o'clock on Thursday. So just a slight programming change for you guys to be aware of. We do have a schedule of shows coming out pretty soon. We are actually going to have a set schedule for a change. I have a pretty good estimate of what's going to be coming down the road in terms of topics we're going to be covering. So that will be out in a matter of days. If not, by the time you're listening, it might already be up. So definitely check out the website for upcoming shows. One of which is going to be a podcast on Silentium. So if you have not read the book and you don't want to be spoiled, definitely go out, grab it. If you need to, reread through it. We'll be talking about that in a couple of weeks. Of course, we do this show for you guys for free, but if you are interested in helping us out a little bit with hosting and for some of the stuff that we give away at conventions, definitely drop us a couple bucks. We have a donation button on our homepage. It's for PayPal. So if you use that, you can drop us however much you want, whether it be $5, whether it be $10, or The sky's the limit, but please don't just like waste a bunch of money on us. Be liberal, of course. But if you have anything you want to just throw away, we would highly appreciate it. So that wraps up our show for our RTX coverage. Again, we had a blast, guys. Shout outs to the Griffball crew for letting us hang in your booth, and the 343 crew for letting us hang out over there as well. I got to spend a lot of time with them just talking and hanging out while the tournament was going on. So lots of fun. Great to meet a lot of the pros there as well. And overall, a fantastic experience.
Yes.
And of course, final shout outs to Rooster Teeth for putting on such a great show. It was very well done. One of the best things I've been to personally. And you guys blew it out of the water. Shout outs to Barbara and Gus and everyone that made RTX possible. You guys rock. Last final shout outs to my panelists that was on my podcasting panel. So I had Goose Checka from Griffball Hub. I had Roadblock from Glipshark, aka Late Night Digging Jam, or what used to be Late Night Digging Jam. And then I had Lindsay from Rooster Teeth, who used to be the podcast producer for the Rooster Teeth podcast in the pack, but now she's over at Achievement Hunter. So congratulations to you, Lindsay, on the promotion. I think you're going to be still doing some great work over there. So shout outs to all of them, guys. So definitely follow them on Twitter. They all have Twitter. Give them a shout out. I've tweeted them. Just if you manage to watch the panel or listen to the panel at some point, just give them a shout out and just show how much you appreciate them supporting me throughout the panel, because they were definitely a big help to making it a reality. And if they weren't there, then the panel would have been a bust. So that's pretty much going to wrap it up for the show tonight. Thanks again, guys, for tuning in, and we will see you guys on our next podcast covering the Halo Bulletin and some other Waypoint goodies. Keep on fragging the Halo 4 Global Championship.
Yes.